The first time Peter saw the girl was during the dinner seating at Masha's. She was sitting at the center table beneath the chandelier, her face spangled with light. It was what Peter's staff called the death seat, because of what would happen to whoever was unfortunate enough to be occupying it if the chandelier, a 200-pound fountain of dripping Venetian crystal, ever decided to fall. The girl, the young woman, was looking around the restaurant as if bored by her dining companion, a silver-haired fellow with thick, horn-rimmed glasses and a head as square as a sugar cube, who was at least twice her age and was, at the moment Peter first noticed her, leaning in to whisper something in her ear. The girl wrinkled her nose and pushed her suitor, if that was what he was, away, and then, upon spying Peter, grinned in a way that was completely transformative, changing her expression from the somewhat sulky ennui of the New York girl about town, been there, done that already, into something altogether more sunny and sweet. Peter raised his eyebrows in return. The girl's light hair was short as a boy's, not a style Peter was fond of. She wore a white shift with fur at the collar and cuffs, and red high-heeled boots, whose tops disappeared beneath the tablecloth. Her eyes were outlined in thick curls of black. Peter was not, as a rule, a fan of these new fashion trends, although like every other man in Manhattan, he would have thanked God, had he believed in him, for the miniskirt. Yet this girl held Peter transfixed. He went about the business of making the rounds, as he did once a seating, clapping a shoulder here, lighting a woman's cigarette there. There was always a preponderance of pretty women at Masha's, more so during lunch, when tables were almost completely occupied by wistful bachelorettes and their determined mothers. This had been the case since the Times Review came out the year before. The ladies praised the salads, but they were there for the single owner with the sad story. The dinner crowd consisted more of regulars, residents of this Upper East Side neighborhood on their way down to or returning from the city's events, theater and orchestra and opera and ballet. Still, there were enough romantic hopefuls mixed in that Peter had become wary and immune. Or so he had thought. Why this particular young woman had caught his interest now, he wasn't sure. He stole glances at her as he made conversation with the Lynns, who had concluded their evening with nightcaps at Masha's ever since it had opened, as he ignored the way old Mrs. Allison, holding court at table 14, kept slipping her palsied hand beneath the table to feed scraps to her poodle, Lucius, who the staff routinely pretended wasn't there. Peter wasn't playing the game again, was he? Looking for people who were long gone? A fruitless exercise, he reminded himself severely, and cruel. And yet, the young woman in the death seat looked to be younger than 40, the age Masha would have been, and older than 20, not by much, but enough. Peter was about to make his way over and give the girl a special welcome to Masha's when there was the discreet stir at tables nearest the front door that meant Mr. Cronkite had arrived, that the hostess was taking his trench coat and leading him to his habitual table, the second banquette with its high red leather walls. Mr. Cronkite was alone, as he usually was when he dined at Masha's, en route from the CBS studio to his apartment on East 94th Street, on a night when his wife, Betty, wasn't there to share a meal with him. Peter held up one finger at Maurice, the waiter on Mr. Cronkite's station, to indicate he would bring the newscaster's bourbon over himself. "How are you this evening, Mr. Cronkite?" he asked, setting the drink down. It always startled Peter, no matter how he thought he had grown used to it, to see how blue the man's eyes were, since on the television screen they appeared gray.
"Very well, and you, Mr. Rashkin?" said Mr. Cronkite.
"I can't complain," said Peter.
Mr. Cronkite favored Peter with the famous twinkle.
"That makes you quite unlike much of our viewing audience," he said. "Tumultuous times, Mr. Rashkin, tumultuous times.